Gotcha.
Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast. We it's back, Movie the Podcast. Baby.
Pedophile like edition.
Hey, yo. we watched the OG Marvel film.
Yeah,
Howard the Duck.
The Marvel movie, the original. Yes.
The first
predates
one.
The Punisher, predates the Captain America movie, predates the
fucking Fantastic wild.
Four movie. This was their property they went with who first.
The progenitor of the MCU. Nate, tell me if I used that word correctly. And
you did.
Hey, yo. So this movie stars, a pedophile.
Jeffrey
and
Jones.
Not Tay Leone.
Who, by the way, is really good in this movie, and it bums me out that he's a deviant in real life, because he was a really good actor.
Great.
I looked up his particular sex crimes, and not only was he, like, soliciting children to take pictures of themselves, he was dressing them up like Indians?
Ooh. What?
What kind?
Feathers. Yeah.
Feathers.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I don't know that there's a worse answer, but they're both really bad.
They're both bad.
It would be very odd if it was the other one, though.
Yeah, that's like,
guys, how dare you not call Leah Thompson by her name and call her not Tay Leone?
Where the fuck is you not Tay Leone, though?
Yeah, I feel like Leah Thompson is more famous than Tay Leone.
She is.
Also, I don't know what it is. Tay Leone was... Was she married to David Duchovny?
David Duchovny, yep.
I don't know what it is about Leah Thompson, and their names don't sound... I guess there's Leah and Tay. I don't know what my problem is.
Is this a Tim and Tom are the same name?
Trust
thing?
Me, I'm well aware that this is on me, and this is not a common problem. I'm just letting you guys know. Also, I can't... It's like almost like... what's his name? Who are those two guys that have names that are sort of... Dilbert Mulroney or whatever.
Dermot Mulroney.
Dylan
McDermott.
Those two.
The one's first name is kind of similar to one's last name.
It's Dilbert. I'm pretty sure it's Dilbert Mulroney. Everybody in Leah Thompson's band is hot as hell, too. Also, the girl from Hanging with Mr. Cooper is the guitar player in the band. Mm-hmm. Or possibly the drummer. I think it's the drummer.
I think she was playing the keytar?
Oh, is that what you... I couldn't remember.
You knew what kind of bass was being played, which I was...
At the end of the movie, I did, yeah. I actually... there's this TikTok I follow where the guy, he breaks down the real gear of fake bands, and I sent him a message to do Howard the Duck, because it's always funny, because he breaks it down to, like... He actually shows, like, reverb listings where you can buy all the equipment. It's kind of cool. But anyway.
Leah Thompson was in a Burger King commercial.
Good for her.
And Jaws 3D. The best
also,
Jaws.
This movie, I totally misremember this movie, because I could have sworn, like, gun to my head, she fucked the duck. She actually does not fuck the duck in this movie.
It's not implied. For lack of trying.
I mean, they almost fuck. They're about to fuck. And then Tim Robbins, like, runs into their apartment. She's supposed to be broke as shit, but she's got another person that's, like,
of course,
poverty stricken. But she has, like, an amazing... She's like, this place is a mess.
That apartment would cost, like, $7,000 a month right now.
That apartment is so fucking cool. And it's like, oh, my place is a mess. Like, your place is a palace.
It's like if Brandon Lee's apartment in The Crow was nice. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get into it. We got a lot to talk about with that movie, because it is
lots to unpack.
Something else. It really is. It is famously a really, really bad movie, and it is a bad movie, but, like, it's not for lack of them trying everything.
I feel like they threw a lot of money and time at it to make it.
Oh, you know, this movie was expensive as shit. I didn't look up the budget, but it had to be.
And it has one of the most dangerous looking stunts this side of, like, Indonesian films towards the end of the movie. It's like this helicopter, like, go-kart thing that they have is, like, every time they show it, it's like whipping around. And I'm like,
yeah, I think it was a real ass ultralight that they strapped, like, a stuntman and a Muppet to. And they're like, we're just going to dip dive this through the canals of Cleveland.
Also, not a whole lot of movies Cleveland based, so
thank God.
Major League and Draft Day and this.
You ever seen the Joakim Noah when he's playing for the Bulls? He's like, who's excited to go to Cleveland? And people go on vacation to Cleveland.
So this movie, all right. Budget of 30 mil.
Oh my God.
God,
box office of 16.
16.
That's 30 yes. mil in 1985.
Six. Yeah. Well, they 85 yeah. is when they made it. Yeah.
Yeah. But wow. anyway, we'll get into wow. it. What did y'all watch oh, this wow. week? Sean.
Oh my God, it's me. it is I watched you. a lot of basketball. That Knicks Pacers series has been an all-time classic. Knicks no were down Pacers. 20 yesterday and came back and won. Beyond that, I watched a movie called Redline, which is by
the anime. Yeah, that movie. Yeah, cool shit.
From the director of, I want to say Dead Leaves.
Yeah, it is.
It's like super intense. It's just a car race. Like it's like TJ will know this. I don't know if you guys will. No, or TJ might not even know. Do you remember the guy? You know Jamie Hewlett, right? The comic artist.
Yeah, remember that the creator that of Tank Girl and the creator of the Gorillas.
Yeah, and he did that like Gumball Rally comic book. Yep. I can't remember what it was called. It was in some magazine, like Mushy Peas Monthly or whatever the fuck in England. It's a lot like that, but I mean the animation's like super exaggerated. It's super intense. A lot of fun.
Really, and I think it's only like an hour long too.
Yeah, yeah. And then beyond that, because I'm building those fucking Gundam robots now, because that's like my new identity. Oh, good yeah. gods.
Now we're good.
All right. I watched the first two episodes of Gundam G Cux.
Like, yeah, I have no idea how to pronounce that title. It's like GQRRRX Gundam or whatever. Like, what the fuck? How do I even say this? Yeah.
It's really good. I watched the first episode on the Plex, and it had the English subtitles laid over Japanese subtitles, so it was like impossible to read.
Yeah, I put a new version on there so you can actually read it. But it's on Amazon.
Yeah. It's really good. It's kind of like a soft reboot of shit I'm not familiar with, because Gundam's like One Piece. There's like, you know, 5 million episodes and 20 different series. And
they're all like loosely connected to one another. Like they carry over some continuity, but like it varies between series. It's very confusing. But
this one is like very expressly kind of a leftist thing, and the animation's fantastic. It's the guys from like Fooly Cooly and Neon Genesis Evangelion, and I forget what the other one was, but no, it's a lot of fun. I like anime. I like it better than most things. So
yeah, we've been watching that too. I really like it. I'm like on episode like 5 now. Yeah. It's really good.
Anime versus sex with women.
Anime.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That tracks. Yeah.
Anime. Like, there's a lot of like work and craft that goes into anime. Sex with women.
Just is what it is.
Yeah, anybody can do that. Alec.
I watched one thing, I think.
One thing.
What Lifetime movie did you watch?
Ooh. Meredith Baxter Burney's Rod.
Rod.
Story about a woman getting beat with a rod?
No.
Thank the Rod.
I watched a movie last night. It was called Paranormal Adoption.
These titles are amazing.
It was pretty entertaining.
Oh my God.
This girl gets adopted by a family whose kid drowned in a pool. So they go to adopt a new kid, and this girl has a doll because her family died in a fire. But she has this doll that she needs. It's like her emotional support mannequin. Or not even mannequin. It's a puppet, like a
marionette.
Yeah, marionette. No, wait. Are those the ones like that stupid comedian has?
Marionettes are on strings.
No,
marionettes are like Pinocchio puppets.
You're talking about like a ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah, ventriloquist dummy.
Oh, okay. Because that's creepy enough. But if you adopt a kid, and they've got marionettes. It's like leave that bitch at the orphanage.
No, marionette's one of those hobbies that just means you fucked up. I'll stand on that.
So they adopt the ventriloquist dummy girl, and then her ventriloquist dummy starts
drinking water.
Terrible things happen to all the people around her that keep her from getting what she actually wants. Mm. It's pretty entertaining. Like the first babysitter they hire gets killed. And they say, oh, she passed out and hit her head in the bathroom and died. So the mom starts to get hip to it that this girl's crazy. but she thinks the doll is like actually possessed. So she hires a nun to babysit her next time to perform an exorcism while her and her husband are at dinner. The nun ends up getting hung in the bathtub with one of those clothesline things, like from Final Destination.
Oh.
So she's just hanging there dead. And then it turns out that, oh, it's so fucking wild. The girl, her dad, her actual dad and mom have set up a fake adoption agency. They adopt this girl out to families. She gets signed as a member of the family, so she inherits all of their possessions, and then she kills the parents.
Like, that's so a long con. Like,
that's a very long con. I mean,
in this movie, it took like a month. Eventually, she got them both in the pool, and she electrocuted them to death. And then it shows them setting up for the same thing to happen to a new family. So they're just, It's one of the best. It's one of the best ones of these I've seen.
What does the marionette have to do with anything?
I don't know.
I was hoping, technically, with the title, I thought that it would be like haunted or something.
Well, that's what they implied the whole time. But I think what they were saying at the end was that it wasn't actually haunted. Her parents were just helping her do all these things that
was a fake
made it seem. Yeah. Because none of the stuff that happened was actually like paranormal. Like, she said she wanted to go on the swings and they got a flat tire right in front of a swing set.
It was just normal.
Yeah, it was just, no para. It was quadra normal. But yeah, I thought the movie was pretty good as far as Lifetime movies go. That was one that I would definitely rewatch again at some point, much, much later, after I probably forgot the plot. Paranormal adoption.
Yeah. Paranormal adoption. And wait, are you watching these all? How are you watching all these again? Are you just like, you don't have cable, do you? Is this, are you streaming? Tubi. This? Tubi. All right.
Tubi has a million of them. Oh, yeah. And they're all better than the last. But that's it. We just finished Gemstones, so we're rewatching through Gemstones again. Like, that shit is just the best. Good. It's so good. And she surprised me last night with the Uncle Baby Billy t-shirt when I got home from work.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Because she has a Cricut thing where you make, like, cut the patterns out and then iron one of the shirts. Yeah. But they're, like, really nice. I don't know if you remember that shirt I wore to opening day, TJ, that white Orioles shirt. She made that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And, like, they're like, cool, fantastic. She makes shirts all the time. They're really, really cool.
I should get one.
Then but I got my
make my own shit instead of the T Public crap.
There you go.
Not a bad idea.
You get that initial buy-in price, and then just she borrowed a heating thing from a friend of hers. It's like a probably 12-inch by 12-inch big heating pad just for that type of thing, and it just like steam presses the shirts real quickly.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, cool. It's really cool. You could do that and sell some of them at your tables when you.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's not a bad idea.
When you set up, just get a cheap ass pack of t-shirts.
Yeah. Oh, you can get t-shirts for nothing. So yeah, that's not a bad idea.
But that's all I really watched. Farting around with some old shows again, but nothing new right now. Oh, we finished the third season of Reacher. I don't know if I talked about that last week or if we had finished it yet. Reacher rocks. I think all three of you would enjoy it because you don't have to think very much about it. It's just
I fucking hate that.
It's a really dumb show with a big monster man that
fun too, IRL.
He seems awesome.
I like a beefy boy.
And he can
say. I think all you guys would enjoy the show. Right. That's it. Gobbles.
I just watched one thing.
One thing.
For some reason, I rewatched Final Destination 3.
God, which one was that?
That's
Does
the
it
one.
Matter? It doesn't matter. Like,
what, yeah, they're why? All the same.
It's the Did we watch that one it's on the roller show? Coaster one.
The one we watched on the show. Why?
I don't know. It was offered to me by HBO or something. I was like, sure. Oh, yeah, why not?
They put all of them on HBO.
I don't know. I just felt like I was like sitting there going, eh, let's just let's do a little Final Destination. It's not good. I don't know what I did. I don't want to do this to myself.
Here's what I'm going to do, bud.
Go for it.
I'm going to add you to my Do Not Disturb list on my phone. So when I go to sleep at night, when you were trying to select movies to watch late at night, you can text me.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
And I'll just be like, no.
Don't do that.
Yeah,
no, it was
like no matter what time of day or night, like just
does that imply that we can't text you? Do you block us at night?
Well, I put on Do Not Disturb, so I just see everything when I wake up, so I don't get alerted all night long.
Yeah, that makes
sense. But you guys also don't make such horrendous movie choices as GOGs. So
I mean, between streaming, all the streaming stuff you have, and the Plex, you have like almost an infinite.
Oh, I know. I think it was just like I was working out in my basement. I wanted something that I could just stare at but not think about, not
pay attention to.
Sure. Right, I could just look up for the boobs and the violence, and they weren't even worth that juice. Was not even worth the squeeze.
Are there boobs in that movie?
There are,
yeah,
but it's not good. And I don't know why I do this to myself.
So that one is that's the roller coaster, the tanning bed, the drive through.
Yes,
I remember the drive through.
The horse at the end.
The horse. The
elevator.
Room. No, elevator is two.
Yeah.
Two is my favorite one.
The one with the fire escape and the ladder comes down and goes through their eye. Two. Is that two? Okay, that's the only one I've seen, I think.
Yeah, two is really the high water mark for the high water mark for expendable films, and it's the high water mark for destinations.
And Star Wars.
And Star Wars.
Yeah.
Godfather.
Yeah.
Godfather 2 is amazing.
Godfather 2 is tremendous. Not Jaws's, so I watched that and I'm continuing. I'm almost done the second season of Severance, and we're still watching Abbott Elementary. Severance is getting real weird, I'm really loving it.
You watched the Ravens schedule drop video,
yeah, that was cool. They spent a lot of money and time on that, that was wild. And I think it was like chock full of Easter eggs. So I didn't go back and like really kind of comb over it. But no, Severance is amazing. Adam Scott is like good on him. I'm very happy for. I mean, I think he's having a fine career prior to this, but this is like this is something special. So yeah, you're really doing it, champ. That's it, TJ.
I watched two things.
Two things.
First, I watched a movie that I liked. It didn't quite. It's one of those movies it's a good movie with a god awful title. I hate this title. I don't understand why they stuck with this title. But the title of this movie is Psychotherapy: The Shallow Tale of a Writer Who Decided to Write About a Serial Killer. Fucking
that's awful.
That is title. Really bad.
It's a pretty good movie. It's a very, like, it feels like a indie movie that would have been made in the late 90s, because it's kind of a black comedy. It's kind of got that, like, eight heads in a duffel bag kind of vibe to it, because it is funny, but it's also kind of, like, darkly, like, it's about a relationship that's, like, falling apart. Speaking of Severance, Britt Lauer is in it. She's great. It's about this guy who... he's a writer, but he hasn't written a book in 4 years, and he's working on this book that like nobody gives a shit about. And he's like kind of like this nebbish kind of guy that like his relationship with Britt Lauer is falling apart because he's just not there and he's not attentive. And like what happens is he runs into Steve Buscemi, who goes to him and is like, hey, you should write a book about a retired serial killer. And that'll be interesting because he's writing a book about fucking Neanderthals. And they're like, why the fuck would you write about that? Nobody gives a shit about that. So then what happens is that Steve Buscemi like goes to his house with the writer. And then like Britt Lauer's like, who the fuck is this guy? And he's like, oh, he's a therapist. He's a counselor. And then he convinces his wife that Steve Buscemi is a marriage counselor. And then he actually goes through, does like marriage counseling with them. It's a very strange film. I enjoyed it for how weird and quirky it is, and like its jokes are very deadpan and weird. And the movie, like, it could have been great, but the ending kind of just happens, and it feels like they kind of wrote themselves into a corner because they didn't really know what they're writing about. Because the other subplot of this movie is that Britt Lauer thinks that that the husband is actually trying to kill her, so then she's like stalking them in the background. There's a lot going on in this movie. It's enjoyable, albeit kind of, again, like the ending kind of sucks. Like it goes from, like, if they stuck the landing, this would be like 8-9 territory, but like they don't, so it's somewhere like between like a 6 and a 7. Like, I liked all the performances. I liked how weird it was, but like it just doesn't quite land. But I'd still recommend checking it out.
What's
again,
the title again?
It's Psychotherapy, / The Shallow Tale of a Writer Who Decided to Write About a Serial Killer. The title is absolutely horrendous. And the title is so bad that I feel like people are going to see it and just not watch the movie. Because the title is fucking
horrendous. It's a real Agency of Vengeance situation.
It's so bad. And like, why is it called Psychotherapy? Like, is psychotherapy like a series now? Like, it's so weird. Like, I don't understand.
Is Doctor Strangelove a series?
No, I know. But like, yeah, but Doctor Strangelove, like, everyone just calls it Doctor Strangelove. Like, I know,
well, maybe
it has,
everyone will just call this Psychotherapy.
Well, no one's gonna see this movie, so it doesn't have to worry about it. But like, I liked it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Britt Lauer's really good in it. The main actor is annoying, but like that is kind of his character, but I didn't really care for him that much. Steve Buscemi is always good. It's a fine movie. I recommend it. It's just, again, it could have been a lot better, but it also doesn't overstay its welcome. It's like, I think it's right around 90 minutes long. So it doesn't, like, it's just in and out and unoffensive. So I don't know. It's enjoyable. The other thing I watched was the new, Tim Robinson, Paul Rudd vehicle, Friendship, which I absolutely loved. I thought it was fantastic. Tim Robinson from I Think You Should Leave and Detroiters basically plays like kind of an amalgamate of every I Think You Should Leave character. And what happens is he's kind of like this fucking loser. And Paul Rudd, he gets a package delivered to his house that is actually Paul Rudd's package. So he goes to deliver it to Paul Rudd. And then Paul Rudd's this like super cool guy and they become friends. And, you know, it's kind of described that Tim Robinson doesn't really have many friends because he's such a fucking weirdo. And like they form like a fast friendship until Tim Robinson does something. I don't want to spoil the movie, but like he just ruins their friendship by being a fucking weirdo. And like, Tim Robinson has a line in the movie where he's like, "You gave me too much freedom too fast. You accepted me too fast. So I don't know how to act," which I thought was really funny. I
mean, honest.
And like, I don't know. The movie's very good. It also is kind of dark. It has its like dark moments. It reminded me of like a Jody Hill movie because it's very funny, but there's like a darkness to Tim Robinson's character.
Does it like a Cable Guy vibe to it?
Kind of. I think Cable Guy is not that good. But yeah, I mean, in a similar way, yeah.
It's making me think of the Haunted House sketch where it's like at the end, it's like, "Did you make any friends?" It's like, "Not this time."
I mean, yeah. And the thing, I was really surprised to find out, like, I would have assumed that Tim Robinson had something to do with writing it, but like he didn't. It was, I don't really remember who directed it, but it was written and directed by the same guy. Because it feels very Tim Robinson. Like, I'm sure he probably punched up his parts because they explicitly wrote the character for Tim Robinson. But I really enjoyed it. I think, like, if you like movies like I Love You, Man and, like, Observe and Report, you're really going to enjoy this movie because Paul Rudd's great. Tim Robinson is great. It's very funny. Like, there's some jokes in this movie that had me fucking dying. Like, I saw this fucking movie Sunday at 8:45. There was two people in the theater. But all three of us were having a great time. Like, there is some very funny, just the way Tim Robinson is. He's very awkward. Like, there's just, like, the first time you see him in his office, he fills his coffee too high. So he's, like, walking down the hallway with this impossibly filled coffee cup. that he's like trying to not spill. And he's like trying to drink it at his meeting, but it's too full. So he's just trying to like, I don't know. It's just, I thought it was fucking hilarious. It was really good. I'd be shocked if everybody here didn't really like it. I thought it was like one of the funniest movies I've seen in a long time. I really, really enjoyed it. Can't recommend it enough. Probably will end up in my top 10 by the end of the year. So yeah, go watch Friendship. Very good movie.
Was it like super uncomfortable, or was it like?
I mean, there's moments. There's definitely moments. It's not like, again, there's like, I would say there's like a dark edge to what's going on, but it's not like, it never like veers into like art house like darkness, or it never goes too far.
Like I feel like there's like a moment in Observe and Report where it takes a real hard turn.
Yeah,
and it gets real dark.
It's not that dark, but it definitely has like to me, this movie felt like a Jody Hill movie. Like it has a lot of Jody Hill vibe to it, but because at the end of the day, Tim Robinson is not a bad guy. He's just doesn't understand how to like interact with people, and he's kind of selfish. But like, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. Paul Rudd is a treasure. It's very good. I really liked it. I will watch it again when I can get it streaming. I will watch it again. I thought it was great. But that's it.
All right.
So now we get to talk about Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
Take a shot every time they mention some kind of duck pun in this movie.
Yeah.
Before we even get started,
the amount of detail just into his apartment.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Is absolutely insane.
It's like if a Cracked magazine wished to be a movie. Like this feels like the Cracked parody of a serious movie.
Yeah. Well, also like the duck planet Earth or whatever, Duckville, Duckburg, whatever they call it.
They never established the name of his planet.
Yeah, I don't.
It's Duck World.
Duck World.
Duckburg is from.
That's the Duck.
Yeah, Tales, that's DuckTales.
Also, is this a situation where everybody's last name is Duck? Does he have a Christian name? I assume there's a Duck Christ because there's a duck everything else.
Well, we don't know.
They showed his ID.
One of the things that's very inconsistent about this movie is that like you're led to believe that Duck World is just like Earth, but just with ducks. But then at one point in the movie, he doesn't know what a pizza is. So they have everything else, but they don't have beer.
Like it's like,
right. Yeah, they have beer. They have like everything else.
We established they had a Duck Pearl Harbor by one of the jokes he makes.
Yeah, that's right.
His last name is confirmed by the ID is Duck. Middle name T. The.
Oh God! Really?
It's like Chuck E. Cheese, the E stand. The E stands for
entertainment cheese.
This isn't like a Super Mario Brothers situation in which there's a parallel evolutionary track. This is like it is a one for one swap for Earth with ducks minus pizza.
Well, there is. Remember, there's a part where Tim Robbins goes through like, you know, the caveman evolution to man. And then he thought about the duck evolution to like higher duck.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So does that imply that there's no Duck Italy?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't that he doesn't know what pizza is doesn't make any sense because they have everything else,
including the English language.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very strange. And also, what's strange on Earth is that there is a confluence of rapists. There's so many, as soon as Howard crashes to Earth, they're like, people are just getting assaulted in the streets
in the 80s, like, I guess, like, everybody thought that every city was just wall-to-wall rapes because this trope comes up in every movie that takes place in a metropolitan area.
Yeah, Leah Thompson must have just been every day just dodging it, apparently.
Like, probably hot take, and nobody's gonna agree with me. She doesn't really do a whole lot for me, just in general. Like, her face is scrunchy. I don't know. It's just not it.
That hair was doing quite a bit for your boy. I thought
she looked real cute in this movie, but
I don't know. Give me Diane Lane in Streets of Fire.
She has a guitar, so as soon as that adds points. The whole band, I thought, was very attractive. Yeah, well, Jewel's hot too.
Yeah, but she sucks.
Well, yeah, she does. Yeah. She thinks the word casualty is like to be casual.
Which is the funniest thing. Funny, at least. Yeah. Anyway.
No, anyway. She just talked about what she was wearing, a casual tee.
Yeah, nice.
All right, so anywho, movie opens up, and we're here on Duck Planet. And
one more thing. I'm sorry, real quick. He lives in Marshington, D.C., according to the identification, which, so is there a General Marshington? Because the town is named after the guy. So, like, are they working? They're working backwards from a lot of puns, and I understand that. And I know we haven't even started the movie yet. But, like, if you're going to go through all this hassle, like, at least kind of establish it.
Yeah, the Marshington Monument.
Yeah.
Yeah. He led the Duck American Revolution against Duckland or whatever. He famously crossed the Duckaware River and took them by surprise.
Oh, he can't swim. He's a duck and he can't swim.
Yes. Or fly. So he's just meat walking around. So anyway, movie opens and are the titular hero, I guess, of the film. He lives in Marshington, D.C. His apartment is like that of Eddie Valiant. Like, it's like a noir sort of, like, it's just covered in pun posters, which I love. And you can just tell he's probably had a real hard day in the Duck Factory or whatever he does nowadays. And he sits down to read a Playbill or something. What was it? What was his Playboy analog? Whatever it was.
I think it was Playduck.
Playduck. Yeah, the puns are not that clever. Doesn't make any sense.
It should have been. Oh, no. I don't even know. Playgander?
Yeah.
Goose. That's not duck. That's goose and geese. I don't know.
Gosling?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a baby. Goose. That's a
baby goose. Literally a baby goose.
Yeah. Duckling? I don't know.
Quackler. Well, he knows what it should have been. It's just...
Quackler.
He's just looking at naked ducks like we and do if you're on Earth.
You get to see some duck titties here in like the first 5 minutes.
You do.
That made me more upset than anything else in this whole movie.
Yeah.
Like, that makes no sense whatsoever.
She was also... That young lady was unfazed by the fact... Well, so anyway... Old boy sits down to have like a cigar or a scotch, and he's reading his pornography. And then
also Howard, and I know it's because like it's got to be hard to get that little person out of like different costumes. Howard the Duck comes home from work in a full suit and just sits down in the full suit to like watch TV and smoke and drink a beer. Who the fuck does that? Like, who would sit down in a full suit and relax?
He's still in his hard pants, as we say in my house. Like. So anyway,
do you think the suit jacket's sewn into the suit?
Probably.
Well, that costume gets a lot of costume changes though. So probably not.
Oh yeah. True.
Anyway, old boy is, sitting down with his scotch and pornography, and next thing he knows, his chair starts a rumbling. And then him and his Barca Lounger get yanked out of the side of his apartment building through several other ducks' units, including a bathing lady duck. And then he gets yanked into the obelisk. I don't know if this is just for the title card or if this really happened, but like the space obelisk from
2001.
And then a space anus yanks. Hey, buddy, what's up? No, you cannot. Go upstairs and go to bed.
Wait, go to bed?
Go, yeah, it's like late.
Not bedtime.
Mm-hmm. He's like, can I go to my friend's house? Like, no, you absolutely cannot.
He figured he got you a good time when you were talking about duck anuses.
Yeah. Right, now is the time to strike.
Howard the Duck gets sucked through the fucking Bifrost to Earth.
And then he doesn't burn up on reentry.
No, Howard is fucking invulnerable because he gets sucked through time and space and then is dropped from the atmosphere into Cleveland and he's fine, like totally fine.
Yeah, no issue. He makes it, like I said, doesn't burn up.
A simpler movie would have had him just get, like, they would have showed him, like, just getting teleported to the streets of Cleveland. But no, they literally show him dropping from the sky.
Yeah, like, they committed to it. So, anyway, he lands on the mean streets of Cleveland. He immediately gets harassed by some street toughs.
Like a bunch of them, like different ones. Satan Sluts, which is like a I presume like lesbian biker gang.
Yeah, no, he's getting passed around like this is a Death Wish movie. Like there's just that many biker gangs about.
Also, no one is reacting to him being a walking, talking duck. They're just like, hey, look at this guy. Let's kill it.
Let's beat it up.
Yeah.
He brings us peace and love. Kill it.
Well, I mean, as I get older and I see movies like this, I'm like, how are they all like non-reacting to that?
Yeah.
Like, if I saw that in front of me, I'd be like, oh, that's somebody just dressed up like a duck.
Right. Yeah, and some people do think that.
Yeah.
But some people don't. Like, yeah, it's very weird.
That's true.
And yeah, one woman gives like a legit like B movie horror scream that's like
later on,
pretty
yeah,
impressive. Yeah.
A great so anyway, scream.
Anywho, so he's ducking his way around what have you. And then meanwhile, Leah Thompson and the rest of Crucial Tot are playing their gig and she's going out and about trying to not get, you know, sexually assaulted. And he's like currently like hiding in a trash can, I think, because that's where the street toughs stuffed him away. And so then he springs out and does like some duck fu or some such.
He knows karate.
And then that begins their fast friendship. And so she's like, hey, duck person, I'm curious but not weirded out, and come stay in my apartment because this won't be strange at all. And he's like, awesome. I'm just going to just act like this is a normal day for me. And I just want to get home because I don't know what the fuck's going on. She's like, all right, cool. Well, here's some other clothes you can wear. And in the morning, we're going to go see the only scientist that I know in Cleveland. So he's like, all right, cool. Let's go see Tim Robbins about it. And Tim Robbins is a science janitor. And he is trying to, I guess, establish himself with Howard the Duck being his like new fun alien duck friend plaything, but then they find out he's just a janitor, so then there's a spat.
Yeah, their friendship, they have a breakup moment within like 15 minutes of this movie. Like,
they became like best friends
in like 5 seconds,
and then it's like it's curtains. And it's like, bro, you have no one else on this whole ass planet. What the fuck are you going to do even?
Then like, Howard goes on this like montage of like trying to find, well, we'll get into the, because it's a great scene. So we can't, when he goes to the unemployment office.
Well, he goes to do his own thing, mm-hmm, right? And he's like, all right, well, fuck it. I'm going to pull myself up by my boot feathers and I'm just going to find my own way home. All right, cool. I'm going to go to the Cleveland Office of Personnel Employment and they're going to find me a job at a sex spa.
Bro. Hold on. Because the unemployment agent that gets him the job, there's a part where like she bends over in front of him and he's like tries to like grab her ass. It's like
he puts his face out, she jams a file in there. My man was gonna just go after it. Like,
yeah, I don't know if they know what consent is on Duck World.
Well, he does, because later he vehemently does not consent to what Leah Thompson's like putting down, and then like he's like, all right, this movie is like weirdly horny.
Also, it's important to point out that after all this has happened, only about 15 minutes have gone by in this movie. This movie like moves like it feels like the movie should be half an hour long, because like everything happens and then a whole bunch of nothing happens.
Yeah,
like, it's wild.
So then So he goes and he works at this weird like pervert spa, And yeah, then
the government set him up with a job at a whorehouse, which is like, okay.
Like of all the things. So yeah, he's at the pervert spa. They're like, well, you're supposed to fix the water because you're a duck. And he's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Anyway.
He wants him to fix the jets in a fucking hot tub, which he throws him in the hot tub. And there's two people having sex in this room that aren't bothered at all by what's going on.
Yeah, they have no sense of the fact that there is a duckman here. No one seems to care.
She kind of, touching back on the social worker or whatever, she kind of takes him dressing up like, or being a duck, or I'm not sure what her entire grasp of the situation is, as like an alternative lifestyle. Like he's like dressing like a punk or something. Like, yeah. I don't really.
No, her read on this situation is bizarre. But anyway, chaos ensues. Everyone's whatever. He can't clean the pipes. Everyone's horny. He jams his manager into like, I guess, a jack off mud bath or whatever's happening. And he's like, he's down on his duck and it's time to go back to Leah Thompson.
Well, like, you don't really know by the way the movie is structured.
The movie didn't have enough bad puns on its own. You had to add more.
I'm just sprinkling in what I can.
But the amount of time that Howard and Leah Thompson are apart, it's like, is it a day? Is it a week? Like, I have no idea.
I can't. And where he gets changes of clothes.
Yes.
There is time that has passed. Where did he pass that time? Was he staying in the jerk-off spa? Like, what?
Who knows?
Help me out. Get me there. But anyway. So then he's like, all right, well, I'm going to go back to go see. He was just wandering around town, sad and jobless. And he's like, okay, oh, Cherry Bomb. That's Leah Thompson's band. They're playing at the Caged Animal or whatever the fuck the name of the club is. And he's like, all right, cool. I'm going to go in there and see what's what. And then somehow he participates in some contract negotiations with maybe her scuzzy manager and his hangers-on by like threatening a guy with an ice pick, and he gets the money. And now
also this venue, I've never seen one of these in real life, but I've seen them in movies tons where the band plays behind like chicken wire. It's like a bucket list thing. I've always wanted to play a show where they actually have that set up
where they want
popularized, by Roadhouse.
Yeah. It's in other movies too, but like that shit looks cool as hell. Like I want
Roadhouse and, Blues Brothers.
Yeah, Blues Brothers too.
They shattered glass raining all over them. So anyway, he threatens the managers into getting them to, I guess, release whatever. Somehow, none of this seems binding in a court of law, might I add. But he's just whatever. Now this duck's in charge. He's their new. He's their Phil Spector, and he's like, all right, ladies, I'm back. I'm in charge. Now he meets the band. I don't think up at this point he had met the band, and the band is just like okay with it. Like they are not bothered at all. And also Tim Robbins is banging the bassist, I think. So anyway, Howard's now in charge of the band. Tim Robbins is back and he's like, listen, give me a feather. We got to figure something out. He's like, okay, cool. Also, by now, I think only 30 minutes of this movie has happened because there's so much that goes on.
He
has the whole ass on it still. So he goes back to Beverly. That's Leah Thompson's crib. And they're lying in bed together and there's the subtle art of seduction. There's more puns. He's like, well, maybe you should try a new species. And she's like, oh yeah. And then once she's all hot to trot, old boy gets scared and he doesn't want to use his squiggly penis and just is like, please leave me alone. And then the government shows up. And by the government, I mean our link to this movie, the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And he's like, hey.
I'm sorry. Did you already mention that he has a loose rubber and it's unwrapped?
Oh yeah,
his
wallet, right? And he's got like duck money, and he's got like a Blooming Ducks card, and like a Master Quack or Blooming something, Ducks. And yeah, he's just got a Lucy condom, like not even in a wrapper.
Also, I guess, this whole thing, this movie's like a biopic about the Go-Go's if Belinda Carlisle was like a fucking pervert. Also, their biology is confusing because, like, he definitely says he was hatched, and it says so on his license, can confirm.
Yeah.
But he has a condom for, like, regular fucking. I know they have sperm, but, like, I don't know the whole, like.
I mean, it would imply a human penis.
Yeah, his penis wouldn't work with a regular condom. Their duck's penises are fucking crazy looking.
Yeah.
Also, beyond the tits and everything else, the thing that bothers me the most about these ducks is that they have fingernails. Like, I don't like it.
I was telling Gogs during the movie, like, that he's got like these fleshy circles around his eyes that I find really unsettling. I don't like at all. Like, it's very strange looking.
Well, so anyway, they do not have sex. The principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, he shows up with Tim Robbins and just some guy, and they're like, oh, here's the duck, eh? Well, we need to go take you back to our science laser observatory scope. And when we were here, you know, there was a power surge, and there was a single feather that floated out of the sky, and we just figured, okay, that's weird, but now you're here, and you're covered in feathers, so we're going to make that leap. Let's just see if we can make this happen again. Come with us to the Cleveland House of Science. He's like, all right, cool. So then they go to the Cleveland House of Science, and they're going to get ready to, I guess, launch Howard the Duck back through time and or space, because they were supposed to be doing, they're supposed to tractor beam something somewhere else. They never explained this really well. And then the alignment got off. And then when the alignment got off, it yanked him out of his living room. And they're like, okay, well, it's only still lined up now. So
but we just can him, back. Too. Just him. Him.
And in the center of a building. Like, he wasn't even on the edge of the building. So he's like, all right, well, just shoot me back to my planet. They're like, all right, cool. Well, just come over with all of your friends and hangers-on, because this is an interdimensional teleportation situation. I'm sure this is fine. So they do. And instead of, like, when they're test firing it, the building explodes. And now the second half of this movie begins.
Oh, yeah. The movie is like, oh, shit, we have no real plot. So they have to introduce the fucking villain, like, halfway through the movie. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
Like, this movie is ideas. It is not there. It is just ideas. And yeah, this one is
a very and-then movie. Like, it's just... Like, there's no, like, real connection to anything in this fucking film.
No. So then their next idea was, all right, well, how about this? We are going to make the head scientist, in the attempt to send Howard back through interdimensional space canon, we're going to suck a demon into his soul, and it's going to rot him from the inside out, and then give him a very loosely defined power set that is kind of rule breaking, and we're gonna explain all that at a barbecue sushi restaurant.
There's a point where Jeffrey Jones is like, he's like dying or whatever, and he's like, it feels like this thing is taking over my insides. Like, how would you know that?
Yeah.
And like, what, how would you know what's going on if that was
he becomes the Dark Overlord? And he's got an electric tongue, and he can shoot powers from his eyes, and he can do telekinesis.
Yeah.
And he's super tall, and he eats a nuclear core to an entire ass power plant. So anyway, so now we spend a very prolonged bit of time at this barbecue sushi hoedown restaurant, Johnny Roma's House of Barbecue Sushi. Yeah.
This is also, sir, it was Roma's Cajun Sushi.
There
Cajun
it is.
Sushi, yeah. Also, Howard gets freaked out because they serve him fried eggs, but like, how would he know what a fried egg look like?
If you serve me a plate of menses, I'm gonna have a hard time identifying.
I wouldn't know what I mean.
He's like horrified by it. It's like,
but he's also like like he at some point where he's swinging around the ticket thing, there's a whole rack of roast duck.
Yeah, it's very strange. And that maybe
it doesn't even get acknowledged, which is weird. Right?
Also, the waitress in this scene is super cute. I just need to throw that out there.
Also, this place should be called Buckaroo Banzai's just for funzos.
Yeah, right? They botched it there.
Also, if this was a real restaurant, 100%, we would have been there like 5 or 6 times.
Oh my god, Cajun sushi. Yeah, get out. So there's just a whole lot of there's just exposition and yapping and jibber jawing, and nobody really seems to understand that what's his name? Jeffrey Jones is turning into a demon. They're like, whatever, man. Can you just tell us?
But this is also where the demon does all the demon exposition about how he's a demon. He's an alien demon that was banished to like some like phantom zone in space.
Yeah. It's Lovecraftian. Like it's a
cabal of alien demons.
Yeah. The galactic evil overlords or some bullshit.
Yeah, the dark overlords.
Dark overlords.
Like how many gods, how many overlords can you have? Like I feel like overlord is a singular title.
Well, you know, you could have like a regional, right? Like think of it like
you have a hierarchy of overlords.
Yeah, like think of like Old Man Logan. Like they all overlorded over their chunks of New Doombia or whatever the hell they called the US. So yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think two overlords could overlord over the same place. I think that's a faux pas. We couldn't have that. But like, you know, if they divided up the territories, they're just regional managers to, you know, the greater overlord.
Fair.
Yeah, just a typical corporate structure. So anyway, dude's just a menace psychologically and physically. A fight breaks out amongst the truckers also try and bang Leah Thompson again. Like everyone's just like
the truckers legitimately want to murder Howard the Duck for some reason too, which is strange. Like they want to like legit kill him again.
Yeah.
Like, everybody in this movie is like either very violent or very horny or some combination of both.
I mean, it's the Reagan era. So, you know,
true. Very true.
Am I right? So now a fight breaks out. The demon just absconds with a Peterbilt and Leah Thompson. Howard the Duck he gets out of the scuffle. The whole place is a shit show. And then Phil shows up. Phil gets arrested. He grabs Phil out of the back of the police car and he's like, Phil, we got to go back to the science building because the Dark Overlord's going to try and jam a demon in my lady. And he said, well, we can't have that. So then they steal an ultralight. And then the next 40 minutes of this movie is either cross-cut with Leah Thompson dealing with Jeffrey Jones, like, fucking twisted meddling his way across. Also, they weren't that far away to constitute this much driving, but still.
No. Yeah.
Like, my man, they had a sobriety checkpoint-style emissions test, which I think is illegal. Like, that doesn't, like, make any sense. No. But he nukes that. And then speaking,
can you imagine being late to work because you're stuck at the fucking emissions checkpoint behind like 80 guys?
Like, settle down, like Cleveland, Ohio sucks. So then he drives to a nuclear power plant and he fakes being like a regulatory agent, even though he's at this point, he's like sounds like a demon and he's like 11 feet tall. And they're like, he's like, hey, where's the core? And they're like, oh, it's right here. He's like, thank you. And then he just breaks into it and
have any children?
Yeah. Like he eats the nuclear core to make himself a stronger demon, and he has to be in a human body because the form, his demon form would be too repulsive. But then his demon, okay, well, we'll get into that. So then nuked up Jerry Jones takes Leah Thompson to the science zone and he's gonna put a demon in her, and then Howard the Duck spend the next 30 minutes flying this ultralight hither and dither, and they're getting shot at.
I know we talked about this in the beginning, but every time they cut to this thing, it looks so dangerous because it's like whipping around like back.
Like, and forth. I was like, is it on a boom or did they fly it?
Like, it looks insane. And then when they finally crash into the water, like somebody died when they crashed this thing into the water.
Like it's getting shot. The cops are shooting at it with shotguns. And then when the cops shoot it with a shotgun, it doesn't damage it, just knocks a hose loose.
Yeah,
Tim Robbins has to like reestablish because he's an ultralight mechanic, I guess. And Howard the Duck knows how to fly one of these things for reasons, and they know also know what cardinal direction they need to head.
Because he's channeling his inner flying duck, which are two separate actions.
I guess.
Yeah, but he can't fly. Remember
But he's remembering. But he's having a genetic memory.
Oh, that's right. Tim Robbins is like connect to your like roots or whatever. Like connect to your ancestors. That's right. I forgot about that.
So he flies his ass. He manages to navigate without any navigational tools nor a map back to the Cleveland House of Science, and then they break into that. And Jeffrey Jones is getting ready to jam demons into Leah Thompson because she's strapped to a table. And then he's like,
yeah, because Jeffrey Jones says that like the overlords, they need a host. So like,
right.
I don't know why it has to be Leah Thompson, but here we are,
I guess. So that,
I mean, there's only like millions and millions of people. I mean, I assume they can just jump into anybody.
Well, I think he's also kind of low-key horny for like everyone's kind of low-key or high-key horny.
Also, like the movie is like, you know, I know they spent like $30 million on it, but like when the demons are like in the ether or whatever, you don't actually see them. They're just like invisibly there because it's very convenient that they didn't have to show it.
No, so they showed them.
Did they?
They showed him
at the very end they did. But like when the demon that goes into Jeffrey Jones, you never see him like floating around in the air to go into his body or anything.
No, you just all the so here we go. So then Jeffrey Jones is getting ready to do the science and they're aligning the what have yous, and then like Tim Robbins is like, "Oh yeah, DARPA paid us a bunch of money to make a demon gun." But then there was cost overruns, so we locked away this disintegrator ray in this storage closet. And I'm going to hit this lock with a hammer, and that's all that comes between me. Well, first of all, they can't use the code key to get into the storage closet, and Howard the Duck foos open this door, and then the disintegrator ray, a weapon developed by the U.S. government, capable of vaporizing a interdimensional demon, is behind a master lock that could be hammered off and was. So then they mount that on like one of those little carts from fucking Austin Powers. And they're like, all right, well, you can killdozer this guy with your science ATV.
Is this a stick shift or an automatic? Yeah. It's like, oh my God, just get to the end of the movie already.
Right. They're like, okay, this needs to be a stealth mission. What's this button do? And then it goes willy-nilly all over the place. There's a wizard's duel between Jeffrey Jones and the laser cannon thing, like a la Egg Shen and David Lopan. And then the aftermath of that explosion, you think maybe everything's done. No, you would be incorrect because Jeffrey Jones is fine, but the demon jumped out of his butt and is now below the floorboards, and now it explodes out of the ground, and it's an amalgam of like, it's like the Gilgamesh vagina. Like it's covered in teeth and it's got like a double scorpion tail that can do science at people. And it's also has like, what's weird is the power set after it came out of the human body was lesser than the power set than when it was in the human body. Like,
yeah,
he was doing more crazy nonsense, like as a human.
It's like you said, the power set of these interdimensional demons is like whatever they need it to be for that scene. There's no like consistency at all. Like what the hell they can and can't do.
Right. And then Tim Robbins the whole time is just watching all this happen and he's refusing to free Leah Thompson. And then Howard the Duck is fighting the demons some more with the laser gun. And then there's all the new demons are on their way and they're coming down the science tube and they get here, but then the one demon gets exploded, and then the demon machine gets exploded, and then then Howard the Duck becomes the manager of Cherry Bomb, and they go on tour.
He was the manager from that weird bar fight earlier. He's been the manager when he's going to stab that guy with the ice pick.
You're right. You're right. He's. I mean, he continues because I guess this is the dramatic port of the movie. It's like we can't. If you destroy
the songwriter for commercials, which doesn't come up like in a normal script written by people that weren't doing like mushrooms and cocaine, he would join the band.
Right. That's correct. He's behind the scenes.
Yeah, because he's like an insurance adjuster that like makes music on the side, back in Duck World. But yeah, and then so him and Cherry Bomb go on tour, and they write the song Howard the Duck about him.
I talked about this last week, like how I saw this movie a ton as a kid and I couldn't remember a thing about it. I remember this fucking song. Like, that's what I remember about
this. I remember this song being like more prevalent in the movie. I guess in my mind palace, it opens the movie and plays throughout, like Axel F or something.
Yeah. but anyway, the I guess the dramatic choice that had to be made was if we don't destroy the science telescope, the demons show up, but you'll never find a way home. But I think TJ pointed us out, is like they can just build another one. Like,
yeah, why couldn't they build another one?
It's pretty successful. Like, it's they did it. Like, and now there's a full blown Duckman here who's cutting the tail out of pants left, right, and center. And
yeah, they never said in the movie like, around. This has got the only like this was made with the only deposit of unobtainium we could ever find. No, they don't say that. They just say, here's where my science gun.
Like, in the course of this kidnapping and dimension fight, Cherry Bomb's gone from playing like the wind-up space to like arenas or some shit. Like, their trajectory of the band is insane.
They were the manager.
They were playing like
a banger.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were playing that place with the fucking chicken wire, and now they're playing like an arena. I love the fact that visually they're supposed to be like a punk band, but then they make that's their music, even like when they play a couple of songs in the movie and it's just like, this is the sound they went for. Like, it's very, I don't know. It's like, you could have made it a little more, punk, I guess.
They made me think of, remember that cartoon from the 80s, Gem?
Gem. Yeah.
Maybe the Gem and the Holograms.
I remember Gem. Yeah. I love that cartoon.
But anyway, that, and then the movie just ends.
Yeah, this movie, oof,
it just stops.
It makes sense though, because the whole movie is just, it's just going. So it makes sense that it stops abruptly, because like there's no form or function to anything in this fucking movie.
Sorry, this is like, I don't know if you guys remember the toy car Record Breakers. It was a car with an electric motor that you assembled together, but like an on-off switch, and it kind of goes, and then it just stops when it hits something. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of this movie. Also, I know this gets mentioned a lot, especially in movies of this vintage, but like, I don't understand who the intended audience of this movie is, because like, it's on the surface ostensibly like a kids movie or like a kind of like, I don't know, tween movie, but it's also irresponsibly horny. But
yeah,
like,
and it has no duck tits, and like,
it's got duck tits and like a bathhouse, which I guess the writers of the film were not aware of how bathhouses work, because there's way too many straight people in it. But like, it's very horny, but like also like milquetoast and toothless, and I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think Gog's is
also, Howard doesn't really have an arc. I'm sorry, like he has that spat with Beverly, and I guess that's his whole arc 5 minutes into the movie. Like, there's some lip service paid to like, I wanted to be an artist, but then I got a real job. And then it's like, he doesn't become an artist at the end. He just takes another real job that's like adjacent to art.
Yeah. But back to your other point, like I watched this with Gogs, and Gogs was like, you watched this as a kid? I was like, yeah. Like, but it is very inappropriate for children. Like, this movie is is like trying very hard to be R-rated. You know what I mean? Like,
it's too horny.
It's a very odd film. And like I said this before we started recording, but like if you'd have told me that they started making this movie with no script, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. But anyway, we're getting away
from Mission Impossible.
We're getting away from the main.
This was written by the same writers of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
No way, really?
God damn.
Alec, was your favorite part of the movie all the duck puns?
Yes. And I even thought of one when Gox was talking about, I forget exactly what line he was talking about. But I thought that Howard could have made a line about, well, my family came over on the Mayfeather. I forget what part I thought of that when you were talking about it.
Also go Mayfowler.
Oh, ooh, that's good too.
I like yours better.
Oh, thank you. I like you better though.
Aww. Aww. But I did love the duck puns. They were.
Yeah, the duck puns are great.
Fantastic. The movie posters were. I loved all those.
Yeah, and I thought, I was like Gogs, like in the beginning of the movie, I thought that, I guess because all the ducks look the same, sorry, I guess that's racist towards ducks, but I thought they were trying to like say that Howard was like an actor, because I thought he was supposed to be the guy in all those posters, right? Like he was Indiana Duck, and he was in, I don't know, whatever it was, like Castle of Ducka or whatever. Like, because he had a bunch of like movie posters in his apartment, but I guess he was just a fan, he was a cinephile.
Well, I assume you can tell each other apart.
It seems like implied that he would be like, yeah, like he was an actor that maybe, I thought they're gonna go the route if he was like a washed up actor and he didn't,
that's what I thought too. Yeah. Well, also he was a musician. He was in like the Four Quackers or whatever.
The decision for him to not join the band in this script is fucking insane. I don't understand it. Like,
also he knows how to play like keyboards and stuff, but wouldn't the duck keyboards be like different, I would imagine?
Well, if the condoms aren't, why would the keyboards be?
That's a fair point. Also, I will say overall, I felt like the duck costume was pretty good. Weird eyes notwithstanding, but his feet look horrendous. Like those duck feet look so fucking weird. But anyway, is there anything else we want to talk about before we get into Five Knuckle Shuffles?
Nope.
I feel like we've talked enough about this movie. We talked a ton during the synopsis. Alex, you
said it all.
Oof, bad.
Yeah, it's a tough one. This is a tough
one. I may as well rip the Band-Aid off. It's a 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie is not good, but I cannot separate my feelings about it as a child with how good it actually is seeing it now.
Well, it's also kind of fun bad. Like, it is bad, but it's like memorably bad, you know?
Yeah. It's
memorably bad, raves Alec.
I don't remember it being this bad, but I do remember being absolutely terrified by the overlords as a kid.
Oh yeah.
And how he looked was fucking horrifying. Before we all knew Jeffrey Jones was a horrible
really horrifying he was.
It turns out the real monster was on the outside the whole time.
A couple of the movie posters he had in the background, Splash Dance instead of Flash Dance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good one.
Breeders of the Lost Stork.
That's not great.
Weird. I don't like that one.
My Little Chickadee, starring Mae Nest and W.C. Fowl.
You know, even for 1986, a Mae West joke is fucking crazy work. Like, who got that even then? I mean, she was an actress in, like, the fucking 20s.
Probably George Lucas.
Probably.
The mark of a cinephile.
And he produced this movie. Sean.
This movie's like really bad. It's like a 4. I have correct. Some nostalgia for it.
Because, it's also, you know, somehow also correct.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. I don't have the kind of like nostalgia for this that I have for like a Top Gun, which is a better movie, but it's also from the same era. Like that I have like a crazy amount of nostalgia for. I don't have for this. Sure. It's just like the pun. I don't know. Your mileage may vary with the puns. I don't know. I feel like Howard needs to be like more hard boiled or something. I don't know what I want exactly. I think I just want Streets of Fire with Michael, what's his name, replaced with a duck. It's kind of the movie I want it to be.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Wouldn't this movie be better if the whole thing took place on like Duck Planet? Like, I feel like then you wouldn't have to worry about all the people and all that. Like,
you know how fucking expensive that would have been.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Oh, Sean's doing the money thing. Yeah, you're
the
right.
Money.
God damn. That would have been a better movie. Like, if she got transferred there.
Oh yeah, like a cool world.
And she gets like sexually harassed.
Oh yeah, she's just getting it from everywhere. And I don't know. And it's just like. Like, Beverly needs to go to a hospital of some sort. I'm not talking to you, dog. I'm talking about the lady in the movie.
Dog named Beverly?
Yeah. I thought it would be funny to give her an old lady name, and now I just sound like an old man with dementia when I'm outside yelling Beverly at the top of my lungs. But it's like, she's, like, way too quick to be down. Like, she doesn't even... This isn't a Beauty and the Beast thing where gradually, like, oh, sees how great he is inside. She's like, I'm fucking this thing.
Yeah, like, how down bad do you have to be like?
And also, like, Howard's like a pussy because, like, he's all like cocksure. I mean, he's trying to eat that fucking unemployment agent's ass, and then like this lady wants to fuck him, and he's like, whoa, hold on a second, like,
hang on, puts. Like, they can't even kiss, his beak's too big. I don't know. Like, it just kind of it has this. The problem is sometimes it's like 80s jank movies do where it kind of just meanders for a big amount of time and then rushes to the end. And I don't know, like,
I'm looking at you, Caddyshack.
Yeah, it's a 4. Like, I can't go any higher, and I can't give it a 5 because it is memorable because obviously we remember it, but it's a bad movie. Gogs.
So it's funny because I was sitting here before this throwing, it's either a 4 or a 7. Like, that was my take coming into this. Like, it's, I'm going to go on. I don't have the nostalgia for it. This is my first viewing. So I'm going to go with 4. It's nonsense. And it is, I said this before, like before we started recording, it's like the situations are as fantastical as they are mundane. Like, there is just like, people are either just, They either can't wrap their head around what's happening, or they just immediately wrap their head around what's happening, and then it just becomes like an Odd Couple, like, situational comedy. It's just like you have a trans universal, trans galactic duck being that speaks English, and he's living in your bizarre punk rock loft apartment, and you're talking about how he'll get back on his feet and find a job eventually. Like, what are we doing? It's bizarrely horny, but it has no teeth. The power sets of everyone. There's a scene where Tim Robbins is like, he's not satisfied with the fact that there is a walking, talking, anthropomorphic duck from another planet in front of him. He needs to know if this thing can read his mind or has eye lasers. It's like, bro, like, I was telling TJ, I was like, if he had superpowers, that's a hat on a hat. Like, he's just like, right. Just accept the fact that he's just, this shit's just wild, please. I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like this movie. It is bananas. And not in the best way possible. Like, you know, like, yeah, I'm giving it a 4, but I could just easily, like, there's a chance I could rewatch this one day and give it a 7 just because it's like, it's still, it's like charming in the most janky way possible.
It's bananas and charming in the way that like an old person with dementia telling you a story is charming and bananas, yeah. But it like takes way too long.
Yeah. It's like Grandpa Simpsoning its way through the whole thing. Like, what are we doing? But yeah, there you go. TJ.
I'm going to buck the trend here. I'm giving it a 6. Because
you're gonna buck the trend by meeting us in the middle.
Yeah, meeting in the middle. Like, I kind of like this movie. It's I know I talk about this all the time, but like, I could stand more bad movies like this, because this is at least entertainingly bad. Though I will say, I don't understand how I watched this as a kid, because it's so boring. Like, how did I have the attention span to watch this movie? Because, like, again, the first, like, 15 minutes of this movie, it's like, boom, 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 boom. And then it's just like, nothing happens.
I think
until
it goes back to that theory I keep trying to get over. It's like when you're a kid, you watch the movie and you're dicking around so much during it, you just remember the parts that you liked because you're playing fucking He-Man and shit in the middle of the movie.
It's gotta be the pacing of this movie is
horrendous.
Sean mentioned this, I think, before we started recording, but like the amount of like Howard's quipping is so bad because he's like, they try to make him like a smart ass, but like he just says like dumb shit that doesn't make any sense. He's like, what the hell's the matter with you, banana breath? And it's like, what? You know what I mean? Like, it's just shit like that. He's like, get off the feathers. And it's just like, oh, every.
I'm sorry. I hate to cut you off, but there was a line reading that was so insane in this movie. I don't know if anybody else got bothered by it, but they're doing the tour or whatever. And it's like, now the only meltdowns we have are the cheese sandwiches and our toaster. I can't even do it. He says toaster oven, so we're toaster oven. Like, it's just so fucking bizarre. But it was like, oh, we're not reshooting shit. We're just going with whatever we got.
Also, Ed Wood would be proud.
Jeffrey Jones, like, looks like a goddamn, like, zombie walking around. And they're just like, oh, it's cool. Like, let him in. He's fine.
Let him play.
This movie is a fucking mess, but it's kind of like, it's kind of an amazing mess because it's so, again, like, I'd love to know what the pitch meeting was for this movie, because like, it doesn't have like a storyline. Like, it just has a bunch of things that happen. Like, it's just such a mess. Like, again, like we've all, I'm echoing what everybody said. The movie is like crazy horny, but it's also like, I mean, to really commit to like its premise, there needs to be like, it needs to be like a Russ Meyers movie where there's like tits everywhere. Like, Howard needs to be like a Laser Shoot Larry type character, but like, they're not. It's like they didn't want to go, they only wanted to go so far. Like, I don't,
it's funny, again, it's funny you brought that up, because I always thought that was the whole bit. I thought he was just, well, like, I thought it was supposed to be like a Leisure Suit Larry, like,
and I don't,
like a hornball.
To be perfectly honest, I know absolutely nothing about the Howard the Duck comic books. I know they're very popular in the 70s, but like, I've never read a single one. I don't know anything about the character.
Well, I think you both kind of touched on it, and why the movie doesn't work as well as it could is that like, he has no like discernible personality other than the like, hey, you chowderhead. Like, there's nothing. He himself as a character is not interesting. And it's like, he wants to return home, but why? Because he lives in his apartment reading pornography. Like, he doesn't have shit going on there either. So like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, it's real weird. And like, again, there's just no, like, there's nothing to this movie. Like, there's a lot that happens, but there's like nothing really going on. And again, I feel like the whole demon overlord thing is like, oh, we got to add something to this fucking movie. Like, I don't know what, but this is something. So yeah, it's a six for me, dog. It's a fucking mess.
A much better duck related piece of media, go watch Duckman.
Hell yeah.
Duckman was the shit, dude.
That show fucking rocked.
It was a great show.
That show used to be on USA at like 11 at night.
You still watch,
I think it came on after Monday Night Raw.
It did, yeah. I want to say Jason Alexander was the voice of Duckman.
You're correct.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, whose pick is it next week?
I think it's mine. I think I'm up next in the thing, but I did not do my homework and pick.
I've got one.
What do you got? I'll defer and I'll take mine after.
Okay, give me Chip What's-His-Face, the voice of Howard the Duck. He is also in the Breakfast of Champions movie made after the Kurt Vonnegut book of the same name.
Pardon me? That. Is it called Breakfast of Champions?
It is.
I've read the book.
So Chip Zine, Breakfast of Champions?
When was this made?
Bruce Willis?
Yeah. Because I kind of wanted to just go Robbins to Top Gun, but I think we do that Top Gun already.
We did Top Gun.
Yeah, we did.
I think we did.
Yeah, we did. Because remember, Goggs had never seen it. That was
my first viewing of
Top. Oh, yeah.
Bruce Willis is in this movie? Yeah.
Yeah, he's the lead.
Albert Finney is in it? Nick Nolte? Okay, yeah. This is going to be
Omar Epps? Oh, shit.
Owen Wilson is in this movie?
We could go from Omar Epps to Major League 2.
Oh, yeah.
This was made in 1999.
Yeah.
What is this?
I love the book. I've never seen the movie.
Yeah, I love the book.
We can watch Armageddon. Michael Jai White.
Yeah, there's Michael Jai White's in it. Oh, we got a bunch of people.
MCD, Michael Clark Duncan.
Owen Wilson, Michael Jai White. Yeah, what a wild cast.
Kurt Vonnegut Jr. is in the movie.
Ew. Nepotism. Bitch.
I'm pretty sure Kurt Vonnegut was dead by 1999. Wasn't he?
Kurt Vonnegut Jr. is Kurt Vonnegut. They are the same person.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right. I guess he wasn't dead.
All right. So there we go.
Breakfast of Champions. All right, that's next
week.
Is it
a comedy?
It's a black comedy, like, according to Wikipedia.
It's Kurt Vonnegut, so it's a comedy, but it's also disturbing and weird.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Apparently, according to the DVD poster, it's great.
Well, like the breakfast with the tiger of the same name.
Yeah. All right. Man. All right. This is going to be interesting. All right, everybody. That's the show. I got to pee. You know what to do.
Okay.
Eat your own ass. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.